Well, tonight I'm going to be talking about Christian community, which is kind of one of my favorite things to talk about, just because of how I was affected by the Christian community in college. Like Luke said, it was kind of a series of random events, if you want to call it that. And I'll kind of be going over those, talking a little bit about that at the end. But yeah, like I said, I'm Will. I'm from South Carolina, went to school in North Carolina, and now I'm here in Florida. So yeah, last week, if you remember, we talked about discipleship. And we were defining it as an intentional relationship involving a leader and a follower. You know, we were saying that this relationship is vital for the leader and the follower to grow in Christ. And really, it's just important because that's how we live out the commandment that Jesus gave us, saying to go and make disciples of all nations. Discipleship makes this happen. It's that multiplication process we're talking about. And just something to keep in mind, however, is that discipleship can only meet some of your needs as a Christian. The person who is doing the discipling still is going to need the strengthening that comes from having peer Christian friends. And the person who is the disciple is still going to need to have a Christian community that they can just grow with as well, and just for encouragement and building each other up. Someone who's in a similar walk of life. So tonight, that's when we'll be talking about spiritual fellowship. And why it's not just a luxury that some Christians have or a convenience that you can hopefully have, but it's something that God very much intends on us having. Yeah, so the definition I'm using is going to come from two different authors. First is from Jerry Bridges in his book, Growing Your Faith. He says that spiritual fellowship is not a social activity, but rather a relationship of two or more believers who want to help each other grow in Christ. So it's a relationship of two or more believers who want to help each other grow in Christ. And first, I think it's just important to note that he talks about intentionality. You know, if Luke and I were to get together and hang out and we were watching TV or something, that would be great and that would be fun. But is that really spiritual fellowship? He's saying that there has to be some kind of intentionality involved. You want to help each other grow in Christ. And you have something, whether it's what you're doing, what you're saying, that makes it Christ-centered and that makes it actually spiritual. And also just part of this definition, too, that I think is important is not just the intentionality, but the mutuality that comes from it. Mutuality is extremely important. We see it all over the Bible in phrases like encourage one another, love one another, confess to each other, pray for each other. There's definitely an action that is going both ways in this sense. And in spiritual community that I'm talking about, we're definitely talking about just helping each other grow in Christ. And so it's going to take action and humility. It's going to take action on your part to want to grow in Christ yourself, but it's also going to take humility to realize that you're also helping someone else grow in Christ as well. And so along with this definition, J.I. Packer also says that God has made us in such a way that our fellowship with himself is fed by our fellowship with other Christians, and this requires to be fed constantly for its own deepening and enrichment. So yes, an important thing to add to our definition that talks about intentionality and mutuality is that this is a requirement for making our relationship with God deeper and richer. And who can tell me what Matthew 18:20 says? I know, luckily, Josh said it during worship, but who knows it? Yes, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. So we see that God is present during spiritual fellowship. He says that he is with them. He's with these two or three people. So true fellowship with this Christian community is going to be true fellowship with God as well, and we must keep that in mind. And so I think this verse also kind of sums up the type of spiritual community that I'm going to be talking about, this sort of two or three, this smaller scale, deeply spiritual community, I think. And when we think about community, there's different spheres. There's this body of Christ, just all the Christians everywhere who are connected through our relationship with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it." So within the body of Christ, we're all part of this, but within it, we can also have local bodies of Christ and just local spheres of Christian community as well. This could be your church or your campus ministry, like everyone in this room right now. And it's important to note just during this, there's, you know, different levels. I'm talking about the whole range of local Christian communities. Like you could be in a youth group at your church. That would be two different communities that you would be involved in there. And we can see a lot of examples of local Christian communities in the book of Acts when we're talking about just the early church. And what I'm focusing on is beneath this level. Beneath this, you can have Christian community with your peers. in smaller groups, anywhere from just a couple people, like two people, or five or six, you know, some kind of group, small group of people that share fellowship time together. And I'm sure a lot of y'all here are maybe involved in that, maybe wanting to get involved with that. So that's what we're going to investigate further. And so first, I think one of the important things that Jerry Bridges was stressing that was that it is definitely a necessity. A lot of y'all are probably familiar with the passages in Ecclesiastes 4. Verses 9 and 10 say, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, a friend can help him up. And then verse 12 goes on to say, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So it's clear in the Bible that we're meant for more. We're meant for community. We're meant for two or three because we can defend ourselves better. We are, you know, we cannot be overpowered. We are stronger with more people. And so two are better than one. And so what happens when we're with more people is just that it is better. It's not good for man to be alone. It's a lot better with more. Next one. Okay, so the purpose of spiritual fellowship that I'm going to talk about has kind of three main components, and we really see this best illustrated in a passage in Acts. And I think this is probably one of the best illustrations that we have of spiritual community because it really just does highlight on all the different levels. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the three components of Christian community that I'm going to talk about that we see in this are its relational component, its spiritual component, and its missional component. And so in this Acts passage, we see that these believers were relational. They devoted to meeting together. They met together not just in the temple courts, but they also met together in their homes. And they ate together. They spent time together. And they really enjoyed this so much that they made a point to do it every day to grow together. And just the relational time with community is really how you build the foundation to then have a spiritual community. You really need the relational time to just build the trust, to build friendships. You really can't have accountability and openness really without trust. And so the relational aspect just lets you get to know each other, just lets you know your backgrounds, and you really learn someone else's heart with this. And then once this is established, you can really go deeper within that and then get on a spiritual level with each other. And you know, this isn't to say that once you have that trust and you're getting spiritual, that doesn't mean that the relational component just needs to be thrown out because, you know, the relational aspect is something that should continue because it's fun and you want your time together to be fun and you want to just enjoy each other's company and not just be talking about the Bible the entire time. It's okay. And also, you know, we should realize the fact that this takes time to build the friendships. We shouldn't be too quick when you meet with people and just try and be immediately spiritual, because you know that's what you need, and we know that that's how we grow, but unless you have this foundation built, it's not really going to go anywhere spiritually unless you have a good relational component. So really just try and take time with that. And so with that definition Jerry gave us, it said that it's not just a social activity. That was the first thing you said. So it must have some spiritual aspect, because we're talking about spiritual community. And you know, really, we kind of just use that word Christian community or fellowship to just say anytime we're hanging out with Christians. But really, there is something that's definitely more intentional involved. We can see in the Acts passage, it said, the believers were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and to praising God. So they had the same beliefs, and they were devoted to these same beliefs and actually following them. They prayed together. They worshiped together. You know, God and their faith were important parts of their lives, and this was made known by what they were doing. You know, it should be visible that when you're spending time with someone in a spiritual fellowship, that the Spirit is there. You know, from an outsider's perspective, an outsider just shouldn't say, like, oh, look, there's a bunch of people hanging out. They look like they're having fun. But it should be visible that there's something more going on there, whether it's by what they're doing or what you're hearing them talking about with other Christians in a community. It's natural that spiritual stuff is going to come up because God is constantly at work in your lives. And so you're likely just going to talk about it probably. And so the third part, the third part that I want to talk about is the missional aspect. The Oxford English Dictionary defines missional as relating to or connected with a religious mission. So we're really just talking about living out the Great Commission. We're talking about sharing your faith, advancing the gospel, any kind of acts of service, just living as a Christian, really. And we can see this in the Acts passage. It said that the Christians lived humbly, and they sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone who was in need. And we saw later on in this passage that it was visible to other people. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So other people were being blessed by the actions of what they were doing. And so really, to make it missional, we're taking the relational component and the spiritual component and just living it out. You know, we're taking our friendship and we're taking our faith and doing something with it. And I think that, you know, unless you really add this component, then we're not really living out the Great Commission. And so I think we can also see this just in this Mark thing I have up here. It's Mark chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 say, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Then in 12 and 13, it mentioned that they went out and preached, and they drove out many demons and anointed the sick. So they did this in groups of two. They were sent out two by two, and they went out, and they were missional. They preached, they healed. And really, I think that Jesus perfectly intended on them going out in two by two specifically, because this allowed them to make their mission something that was experienced together. You know, and I really believe that this just enriched their fellowship as well. They grew closer to God, but through this, through living out God's purpose together, they grew closer to each other. And so from our definition, if you remember, we were talking about two or more believers who want to help each other grow in Christ, and it has this purpose that's relational, spiritual, missional. And so now in the spiritual realm, I just want to talk about a few things that we can do to really just make it more spiritual, I think. Just things that should be there if we're having spiritual fellowship. Okay, first, we can just grow through keeping the time that we spend Christ-centered. You know, this can look like just discussion, what we're talking about, whether you're sharing what you're reading in the Bible or just biblical truth, really. In John's first letter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. So he's saying that he's proclaiming what he saw and heard. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's proclaiming his experience with Jesus. And he's doing this so that you may have fellowship with us. And so in the practical sense for us, I think we can really just do something as simple as sharing what we're reading in the Bible, something God is teaching us, something we're learning, just how we see him working in our life. And this really, you know, the Bible is God's word. It's his message to us as Christians. It's a message on how to live as Christians. And really, we just, you know, we have to take this and apply it. And I think other people can just really benefit us by allowing processing, if anything. You know, we can just better understand what God's word is teaching us. Similar to how you would maybe read another translation in the Bible, you can just ask someone, just have conversation. Similar to saying, like, so what does this mean? Or, okay, so what would this look like in real life? I know I ask people questions like that all the time to just try and figure out how I can take the word and just make it my own. So how are we taking our time with other people and just making it Christ-centered? And On this topic of being Christ-centered is also important, like we talked about mutuality, to just remember to be good listeners as well. It's amazing what God is going to teach you through other people, whether it's just their perspective, their point of view, something that they learn, something in their experience or whatever else. You know, listening does allow us to learn directly from God. And really, you know, I do want to stress that this doesn't mean that our time has, you know, to make it Christ-centered has to be so structured. It's not like you have to say, okay, share what you're learning in the Bible or what did you learn from that sermon. And I think just by sharing our lives and sharing what's going on and how God's working, this is just naturally going to come out for us. Okay. And so now that we're making it Christ-centered, one thing that we can really do to make our time spiritual within a community is to be open. You know, simply just like sharing what you learn in the Bible or just sharing what you learn from a sermon really is only academic until you do something with it. If you're just going to be talking about what you're learning in a book, that's just English class. We have to actually do something with it. And really just being open is how this happens. Whether you're seeking help or advice, or just wanting someone to listen to you or just help you process, it all starts with being open. And an important thing to highlight with being open is that we're not just talking about sharing the joys and the blessings that you have, but really truly being open is just really fruitful when you share your sins and your failures and your struggles, and you're just willing to ask for help. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And the New Living Translation for this says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. So yeah, a true godly friend loves at all times. You're going to be open. This person's not going to judge, hopefully, if they're your true godly friend. They'll build you up, and you'll grow closer. And what we see is when you really share the deep, the personal, just share the heart and the pains of your heart is when that person goes from a friend to a brother, and you just really get on just such a deeper, closer level with that. And that's when you really start to grow with Christ, I think. And just when I think about my friends, even all of my best friends, the one who's probably the closest is the one that is my closest Christian friend, because he knows everything and we can just be on that deeper level. And so also I've seen a parallel with this proverb and Proverbs 18:24 that says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So closer than a brother is what we're going for. And it all starts with just being open. And when I talk about openness, I kind of have to also talk about timing, which you'll see why it's obvious. But, you know, if you're meeting someone for lunch, you're not just immediately, hopefully not immediately, just going to start sharing your deepest, darkest secrets with that person right then. We have to build this foundation. Openness requires trust. You have to be able to trust that person. So this is something that is going to take time to grow. And from this openness, we really grow in Christian community when accountability is involved. And we often talk about accountability when we talk about our accountability partners. And I agree, fellowship between two or more Christians should definitely involve accountability. Because all this openness is great, but it has to have a purpose. Like, why are you being open? If you're going to be open, you know, are you just being open to tell someone something? Or is it because you actually want to work towards that? And that's what accountability does. Accountability means that you're willing to be checked on and challenged in certain areas of your life. So someone can just check on you as far as spiritual disciplines go, whether it's your time alone with God or your scripture memory or prayer. Just having someone to check you up on that is accountability. And you know, y'all are students, y'all probably know that you're more likely to do homework if your teacher grades it than if she says, do it for fun. And so, probably most of y'all. And you know, not to say that that's what you should do, but the same principle is holding true here. You know, you're more likely to read a chapter or memorize that verse if you know that someone's going to ask you about it, if you know that someone's going to be checking up on you and see if it was done. And, you know, accountability turns routines into disciplines, and that's the important part. You know, you might memorize a verse every week because you know that your Bible study leader is going to go over it at the beginning and is going to ask you and is going to assign you another verse for the next week. You know, this is great, and over time, you'll probably realize the benefit of actually doing this, and you'll see yourself grow through this, and then you'll really want to just start doing it on your own without having someone check you up on it. So accountability turns these routines into disciplines. And so going along with the two Proverbs that we talked about, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Accountability is this sharpening process. And so along the lines of spiritual disciplines, accountability is extremely important, just as far as our weakness goes, just whatever sins you're dealing with or whatever you're particularly vulnerable to. And, you know, we need to be vulnerable to have this. And it really, like openness, it's going to take probably more time and more trust because this is actually accountability and not just being open. And one thing, you know, we need to be vulnerable, not just transparent. And that's a difference that I definitely want to highlight. It's something that I never really thought about until this past weekend at the men's talk. The UF campus director mentioned this. You know, I can be completely transparent with y'all. I can say who I am. I can say, you know, this is me. This is the good and the bad. These are my blessings and my struggles. I can be completely open, but I can never be vulnerable. I can be open, but I can still have these walls built up in front of me. Granted, they might be glass walls. You can still see through them, but I'm still not going to let you in. And vulnerability happens when I'm going to let you in and I'm willing to accept your advice. I'll let you help me. I'll let you have an opinion. I'll let you point out areas of weakness that I'm not even aware of, because that's oftentimes our biggest weaknesses for us are the ones that we don't even notice that someone else has to notice for us. And we can't reap the rewards of accountability unless we're willing to be open and vulnerable. And so this, like I said, is going to happen after the friendship and trust and relational component happens with that. And so we're Christ-centered, we're open, and we're holding each other accountable. So the last aspect that I want to focus on is prayer. Prayer is how we connect with God. It's a conversation with God. You know, praying with a small group of Christians and praying for your brothers and sisters gets you not only closer to God, but it will get you closer to each other. You know, you're making an investment in other people's lives here. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Prayer is powerful and effective. That's the takeaway from this. And it's one of the most important ways to have a close spiritual relationship with someone. And, you know, this is an investment you're making, and there's mutuality involved. You have to be able to pray for someone and have them pray for you, and you have to be able to pray with someone. That's really how the growth can just go so much deeper, is by prayer. Okay, so we've discussed the purpose, the threefold purpose of fellowship, and we've talked about some things that make it really more spiritual fellowship. And so we've kind of painted this picture of the kind of person that this would involve, just the character and attitude that the person needs to take. And so first, really, the person has to have fellowship with God. God must be first in all this. Remember, we talked about this last week when Luke was talking about discipleship. We said, you can't really learn from someone else if you're not learning from God first. And the same thing is definitely true here. We have to be constantly learning directly from God. God should be the person that we're looking to first, and then our spiritual community is there to help with that. And so just some examples of character that we see, there's many, but some important ones that I thought were, in John 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Then Ephesians 4:2 talks about, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." 1 Thessalonians, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." Then Ephesians 4:29 wants us to speak only what is helpful for building others up and according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. All of this is going to benefit those who listen. You're going to grow. And in community is where we can find this love, this encouragement. And really, along with these aspects, the person just has to be willing to be honest. And you should be able to just be able to identify with someone else's needs. If you're going to be there to build them up, it's important to be aware of how you can do that. And along with these character qualities, something that is important is maturity. The person has to be just mature enough to realize that you don't have all the answers for this other person's life. You're not obligated to be solely responsible for that person's for that person's growth. Like we said, the person must be grounded in Christ first anyway. So it just does take a certain level of maturity to not feel like spiritual fellowship is a burden that you have, to not feel like, you know, I have to be there for that person, and I have to have all the right answers for him, or else that person's going to be sad, and then I'll get sad, and no one wants that. You know, we really don't. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, God has to be first, and along with this, probably the most significant thing that this fellowship community must have is just a desire to grow. We're talking about how community can help you grow in Christ, and you kind of need to want that. And, you know, just as in a relationship, everyone needs to be heading in the same direction. They should be heading for growth. This is oftentimes why we find our accountability partners or our fellowship group to be people who are in similar walks of life with us and just have similar experiences or heading in the same direction as we are. Because that just makes the fellowship just happen a lot easier, for one. But then also, we can just really grow if we're experiencing some of the same things as well. And, you know, you really don't need to have a partner who's just going to give you all the right answers all the time for every question you ask. You need someone who's willing to just grow with you. And I've heard it said, it's all about direction, not perfection. So it's all about what direction you're heading. Okay, so I was talking about the different spheres that define community. But I think, you know, here we are as a navigator community, and I think we can all go deeper within this and have a smaller, close-knit Christian community. I'm hoping that everyone in here someday can say that they have that. And one thing to keep in mind that's definitely important is the breadth and depth that this community has. The community definitely has to have lots of depth. You need to be able to go deep with these people just be able to go deep with these people and just be able to have this deep spiritual community and be able to be open and accountable and all that. And this becomes difficult when breadth becomes too big. You know, when you have the more and more people that are in this group, the less intimate it's going to be, the less likely you are to share with everyone and be open with everyone who's there. You know, I'd say a tight-knit community, a good one, can be as small as two people, obviously, just me and someone else. And as big, you know, I'd say once you start to get to six or seven people and more than that, you're really losing the depth that you could be having with a tight-knit group. And also, just as far as what your group would look like, it's important to keep in mind the difference between the social aspect and to have a spiritual community. And so when I mentioned the purpose being relational and spiritual and missional, you really have to make sure that your time spent balances those three. We don't want it to be, you know, entirely relational at first, and then you build those relationships, and then you get nothing but spiritual. You need to keep it a healthy group, and you need to keep having the spiritual time, and you need to keep living it out with other people as well, and have something missional going on. And so I mentioned, you know, those things that can make it spiritual. I was talking about prayer, accountability, openness, and having it be Christ-centered. I'm not saying those things to make it sound like this time has to be extremely structured. I'm not saying you have to have a person who keeps the time and says you'll pray for 2 minutes and then you'll share your Bible study for 2 minutes. And then, you know, we don't need to have this checklist when we're talking about a group structure. Too much structure can definitely detract from the feel of the group. But I will say some structure makes a group happen, though. If you're not at least a little bit structured, then you're likely to just stay in the relational aspect. You're likely to not talk about these things. So at least whether or not it's structured or not, just keep these things in your mind that can make it go from social fellowship to spiritual fellowship. And so also along the lines of structure, I do just want to emphasize that groups are going to look different, you know, based on where people are spiritually and based on what their needs are and just based on where they are in life. You know, just because these four girls happen to go to lunch at this place every Tuesday and they talk about this and they pray together, it doesn't mean that the only way I can have community is if I do exactly that, is if I also go to lunch and talk about those things with three other people. You know, it definitely just depends on where you are at the time and what's going on. You know, how much do you need? Do you need to build more relationships and meet more often and hang out more first for a while and then have that spiritual relationship growing? You know, what are the needs of your group? People are in different places at different times, and it's necessary for spiritual growth, but it's going to be centered around the needs of that community. And so I'd say for y'all, if y'all feel like you don't have this, if you feel like you don't have a close Christian community, then I would definitely say just to go for it. And if you feel like you do have this right now, I would say just check yourself. Are you balanced between the relational, the spiritual, and the missional aspect? Like, what does it look like for you? Is it actually accomplishing the goal of helping y'all all grow together? So just kind of check yourself and also see if it just has these underlying aspects that can make it spiritual. And so, so yeah, community is something that I want everyone to have because it's one of my favorite things just because I know exactly what it feels like to have it and what it feels like to not have it. When I was in college, I was at Davidson College. It's a very small school outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Total student body was 1,700 students, smaller than my high school. And I spent the first year just trying different groups out, different campus groups out with a roommate of mine who was a strong Christian. And I never found a group that really made me feel comfortable. And I'll admit, a lot of it had to do with me just not liking the people who were there. But I think I just, you know, to say I didn't connect, that's a nice way of saying it. I didn't connect with all the people there. And so I just couldn't commit to a group. And I just didn't know what I was looking for really either. Sophomore year, I didn't really do anything because I felt like, well, okay, that whole Christian community thing is nice, but you know, we don't have to have it. And maybe that was just me being bitter because I couldn't find it. But I was saying, you know, it's not that important. And then it was the summer after sophomore year, I studied abroad. I did a program that summer in Copenhagen, Denmark. It was a healthcare program. I was a pre-med psych major, so that was my pre-med stuff going on there. And I was doing this healthcare program, and when I was in that program, I met a guy named Kyle. Probably a lot of the guys met him at that chili night we had earlier. He is now my best friend, that best friend I was talking about earlier. That's him. He and I just connected immediately just because we had everything in common. You know, when that I always find that Acts passage funny because it says the believers had everything in common and did everything, like really everything, but, and I even have an identical twin brother. So when I say everything in common, like I don't just use that word a lot. Like this guy and I really did have everything in common, except he is blonde and 6'6", which I am obviously not, but this would be like way up there. I wish, maybe not, I don't know. But so the more we got to hanging out, the more we got to talking, just the more our conversation got deeper. And I, looking back at it now, I can see that we moved from that relational aspect to a deeper level. We began to share about our lives, and he's a strong Christian, so he's shared about his Christian walk. You know, and he was just sharing about his experiences and just his life. And even then, there were so many Me Toos that happened. It was just crazy. And, you know, I really just saw for the first time what true encouragement from someone really looked like. And when we were in Copenhagen, we went to church together. And it was an Anglican church because they spoke English there. Otherwise, you know, wouldn't have gone to church, I don't think. And so then after that, you know, it allowed more spiritual stuff to come up in our conversations. And he... just hearing just my background, just really realized what I was lacking, and that was Christian community. And so right before we left to come back to the States, he said, when you go back to college, you're going to find a campus group. You're going to finally find one and commit to one. Find one where you're comfortable most of all. But make sure you find one also that has a small group Bible study, just some kind of small community within that that you can be involved in. So I went back all excited, and I looked online on the Davidson website and was all excited about finding something, and it was all right. I, you know, still didn't really know. I didn't really feel like it was really going anywhere because I didn't really have any other friends that were also wanting to do the same thing. No one who was growing in the same direction as me, like I said. And it really wasn't until one day, it's kind of funny how I just randomly found a group, but I was... one day, my roommate's brother was visiting. We couldn't find my roommate anywhere, and we were hungry, and we wanted to go out to eat. And we heard he was on the IM field, so we went walking to go to the IM fields to go get him because we were so hungry. It was late. And as I'm walking there, I see in the path a big Ben & Jerry's ice cream stand. And I love Ben & Jerry's. I looked online, and there is not one in Tallahassee. That was one of the things I looked up when I was about to move here. Very sad. I do think Gainesville has one, though. But we don't have one here, and that pains me. But, you know, and actually, I went over to the Ben & Jerry's cart because I went there so much that the owner and I are on a first-name basis. Her name is Karen. And so I was going to go run and go see Karen, who's actually a strong Christian, too, by the way. But I was going to run and go see Karen and just say hi. And so I see her. I'm like, oh, hey, Karen. Getting a text message. I want, you know, what kind of ice cream do you have? And my favorite kind is called chocolate therapy. Try it. You'll know what I'm talking about. But I said, you know, what are you doing here? It's getting kind of late, and it's a random ice cream stand with a bunch of people around it. And she was like, oh, I'm actually here with this group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. They're having an ice cream social. What does your Christian community look like? Are you looking for one at all? Do you have one? And I was like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And I was getting kind of tired of trying, so I'm so glad that God put an ice cream stand in the way to get my attention. But, you know, through that, I really just dove in completely. I connected amazingly with all the students there and just with the staff there. And I was involved with a men's Bible study there, and that was really the first time that I had really had a men's Bible study. I'll admit I went to the first Bible study without a Bible because I didn't know that's what I had to do. But we have extras like we always talk about. Everyone, we just know to have extras. So I was in this Bible study. I learned just so much about openness and accountability. That's really where that became true for my life. And so I really just did everything at all that they possibly offered that I could do. And I just felt myself growing so much, whether it was in the men's community or just whether it was in one-on-one meetings with our campus director. I just grew so much. And I went on my senior year to lead InterVarsity at the school. We actually had our campus staff move to Scotland for school. And so it was kind of, you know, interesting being a leader when you don't have staff. But the involvement through that really just led me to this job. And I feel like I love this job so much because I want everyone to have that experience. I want everyone to know what it feels like to have Christian community because I know exactly what it feels like not to have that. And you just never know how God is going to work in your life. I went from freshman year not seeing any need for Christian community or any kind of campus ministry to now I'm working for one. You know, I would have never, ever thought that that would have been the case. And really, when you think about it too, you know, I found this group because I walked past some ice cream. And, you know, I was even led to that because of a close friend that I made one summer who happened to be in my class during that particular program in Copenhagen, Denmark. You really don't know. And guys, I really just can't emphasize enough, you're not going to break the bonds between these Christian friends. Kyle and I, when we went back to the States, I went back to North Carolina, and he went back to his school. He went to Texas Tech in Lubbock, which is like 20-something hours away from where I was. And, you know, I think at first we did wonder, okay, how is that going to affect our spiritual relationship? How is that going to affect our growth? Because we grew so much together. And he and I, since then, we've visited each other every 6 months since then, and we talk at least once a week. You know, we keep that relationship going because there's nothing that's going to break it. Not only are we connected through the body of Christ, but we're connected because we were involved in a deep, close spiritual community as well. You know, God does make it clear we're not meant to do this alone. And so I'm going to close with this verse, with verses from 1 Samuel, where we talk about two Christian friends, David and Jonathan. So chapter 23, 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 and 16 says, "While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." Jonathan helped David find strength in God. And I know for me, I can think of many times where I really wish someone would have helped me find strength in God. And so, you know, in the beginning I said spiritual fellowship is a necessity. We need it. God definitely intends on it for us. So guys, I would just challenge y'all to just take this risk, get outside of your comfort zone, and just grow, because you're going to grow more than you would have ever thought. So let's pray together, guys. Father, I thank you for tonight and just for this community that we have here for the Navigators. And I just pray that you can just begin to work in students' lives right now and just begin to cross their paths with other students who they can grow with and have close spiritual fellowship with. And I just pray that they do get to experience this when they're ready. And I ask that you just bless us with a Jonathan who can encourage us in our faith, and bless those who may already have a Jonathan so that they can continue to just grow closer to you, Lord. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.